Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Happy New Year! Hi, I'm Jackie Cation. You're listening to the Dork Forest. It is available on all of the websites, and including iTunes and Stitcher and YouTube. And if you go to dorkforest.com or jackiecation.com, you'll find links to all of it. And then I have another podcast with Lori Kilmartin just about stand-up comedy. But this is the Dork Forest, and it's January 2020, so Happy New Year, and feel free to start donating again. That's right. Donations went off last year, and I don't blame you, but think of me. And PayPal will let you do it monthly if you want, but I understand if you don't want, because monthly is its own commitment. But the people who do it monthly, I said do-do. I totally appreciate that. But there is also going to be new merch. I'm phasing out one of the Dork Forest t-shirts. I think it's the black one. It might be the green one. The green one's almost completely out of stock, so I think it might be the Dork Forest one itself, but feel free to try and order stuff so that I can get those two new shirts on the website, because right now the merch page is a bit crowded, shall we say. By the way, my website is done by Vilmos. You know that. The song that was just sang was composed by Mike Rickberg. He'll sing his version of the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program, and Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio and has been doing it for lo these many years, and I genuinely appreciate that about him so much. The new shirts are going to be a shirt with a bunch of my dad's sayings and a drawing of his face on that Jenny Fine did. And Jenny Fine, of course, was the artist who did the Meat Shield t-shirt, and she also did the art for the Horcrux album and DVD. You can get all of my old merch still at JackieCation.com, and the new merch, feel free to email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com, and we'll figure it out, is what I'm saying. I'm going to record a new album in 2020, but I don't know where or when. Feel free to come and watch me work on the new hour at JackieCation.com. Has all of my tour dates, and at JackieCation on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. There's also a Dork Forest Ranger page that you can get into. Donations, PayPal, Venmo, do whatever you need to do. But I'm very appreciative of everybody's support over the last 13 years. Let's get into some dorkdoms, shall we? Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room with Diane Hong. Well, Hong D. That's your Twitter handle. Well, Hong D with an at. WellHongD. That's funny.
Hey, thank you. Yeah,
I'll see a pattern. You do stand-up comedy. Guys, see Diane Hong do stand-up comedy. You have a show down in Orange County, or where is it?
In Orange County in Santa Ana. I just moved to Orange County, so I'm still learning, too. But I've been told it's Santa Ana.
Okay.
That's where it is.
Oh, well, fair enough. It's in Santa Ana, and it's called Peeps and Treats. And if you go to @WellHongD, you will be able to find more information on that. And, of course, Valentine's Day is coming up with the traditional Book a Woman for Comedy Day. So myself, I'm not working.
Oh, what? Do you want to stop by and do a set? If you want to stop by?
I'm going to my niece's bat mitzvah.
Oh.
Yeah, good times. I'll be in Minnesota in February,
which
I can't imagine it's par for the course. I usually end up in Minnesota around January or February, so that should be
that's
cold.
A good time. Yeah, I mean, that's cuddle weather. I'm sure. Aww. Like it's a big V-Day thing over there. No?
Sure. Well, I don't know why
I've never been over there.
I don't know why they're having the bat mitzvah on Valentine's Day, but maybe it's because that's when her birthday is. I don't know when my nieces and nephews' birthdays are because I'm a monster, but I don't even know when my siblings' birthdays are. So,
I mean,
or my dad.
As long as you know that they exist, I think
right.
That's
they
kind
were
of like,
born.
Yeah, that's the important part.
It is the important part.
It only happens once a year. How are you going to remember that?
Exactly. And really, as my father likes to say, because he never knows, is you were just born the once.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm using that is what it ends up being. I get exhausted with him, and then I co-opt it.
There you
because
go.
Because it's an excellent defense.
Well, my dad told me, my parents didn't believe in birthday presents, mainly because they're immigrants. But like my dad was always say, like, when I asked him about it, because I heard about it from other kids, he's like, well, we gave birth to you, so you owe us a gift. That's, and then I was like, we're done. Never ask anything again.
Yeah, we can be done. Yeah, that was my dad is immigrant people as well. And so other, it's not an issue. In other countries, it turns out, nobody's having a month-long birthday party.
Oh, yeah, that's a different thing.
That is a several generations of being an American thing.
Oh,
for
100%.
Sure.
If I ever have kids, if they ever come up to me with that, I don't think I'd be ready.
Oh, my God, with the month-long?
The month-long. They're like, we should celebrate. No, you were born one day. It was really probably only a couple hours. I don't know why we need to do the month.
Andy's birthday is January 29th. And those, not all four of those presents.
I was
going to
say,
he's a lot of
very loved.
He is very loved, but his family has been in this country for like hundreds of years. And so he has this thing that I don't challenge it, because I didn't never even thought of it before, but he's like, my birthday starts when I get my first present, and then it ends when I get my last present. And everyone's birthday ends that way. And I was like, that's weird. It's just the one day that everybody suffered to get you out of their person.
Yeah.
And then, but okay.
I mean, that's great that he gets presents enough to, like, you know, it can be based on that. I mean, I always thought they only gave it that one day. I use that excuse with my friends. I'm like, oh, sorry, I missed it.
I missed your birthday. I missed your birthday. I guess I'll take you to lunch. Yeah. I'll buy a cup of coffee.
Exactly. I'm like, I missed the present window. It has to be coffee or lunch now.
Right. And I never know, because we didn't do presents a lot as kids, I never know what to get people unless I run into something that I'm like, oh, no, they would really like that. And then it's no near.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way. I actually just gave my good friend from like elementary school. We had this conversation about how she doesn't clean anything. And then so lemon extract like is really good for getting out stains.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
So for her birthday, I got her lemon extract and she was so confused. Like she forgot our conversation. So she started putting it on her skin.
No, it's going to eat right away.
Yeah.
It's gonna eat right through you.
They thought it was like essential oils. And so it was just like, oh my goodness, it was bad.
Context is everything. And I've taken actually with the, Bamford used to buy me, like, she'd be like, hey, I thought of you, so I got you a trinket.
Oh,
and I'm
sweet.
Like, how about you take a picture of it? Because otherwise you're buying me something I'm going to throw out.
Oh.
And
that's a good save.
We have a small house. We have a lot of stuff. I don't need any more stuff. And so I buy trinkets for her too, but I have recently taken it also taking photos of it and going, hey, I thought of you.
That's
look
so
at this
much
stuffed
smarter.
Animal.
Yeah.
This is a sloth stuffed animal. This might be something you'd be into. And she's like, oh, that's very nice. I'm glad. And I'm glad you didn't get it for me because I have a lot of crap. So, I mean, we all have so much.
That's a very good point. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, because it's the thought that counts.
Oh, my God.
It is literally
it.
The thought that counts.
Yes.
And if you're broke, which I am not, I could buy her all the trinket craps and Andy all the trinket crap. And I do tend to buy him more. He collects these Hot Wheels and they're either $1 or $4.
Yeah.
The fancy ones are $4. So if I see one that he doesn't have, I will get it for him.
Yeah.
Which is a nonstop parade of gifts coming at him.
Oh, yeah. And that's if they're collecting, that's one thing, because they're already like, that's something that they do. But if it's something that you know, they're like, I have a whole bunch of Hello Kitty stuff because one person as a joke got me like a Hello Kitty key. And then people keep giving me, and I don't like Hello Kitty.
No, no. And it's the same thing with frogs and unicorns. And there's a weird, people will be like, oh, I like unicorns. And then
unicorns.
For 20 years, you get fucking unicorn
shit. Unicorns are so in.
They're down.
I don't know what happened. It was like Lisa Frank was hot, and then those kids grew up, and now unicorns are in.
All right. Here's the thing, Diane Hahn.
Yes.
We've been chatting for 6 minutes, and you have not got to chat about your thing.
You're just so much fun, Jackie.
You're so much fun, and I want you to like me. So I'm like, tell her stories. Anyway, I've never had anyone on the Dork Forest whose dorkdom has been 90s and 2000s K-pop.
It's very specific because that's the only time I really cared. I don't.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you still listen to it?
All the time. I'm very into it. It's
awesome.
Harder now, though, because like not all. I mean, it's easier than it was back then, because back then you just only had CD. I say back then, but I'm 31.
Right.
But when I was like 10, that's around like the 90s, you know, around that age.
And CDs were the way.
Yeah. And that was like the only way. And I was going to Korea. I spent actually a lot of my summers in Korea at that time.
Nice.
And so my parents were like sending me over there to learn Korean.
Yeah.
But the problem was, because when I got there, all my cousins and my aunts and uncles were like, hey, teach us English.
Right.
And so the only way for me to really learn Korean was like watching TV and then like listening to the song. So I would like find like translated lyrics, or like I used to write out the lyrics.
Yeah.
And then like translate them, or have my cousin translate them. And that's how I learned Korean.
Okay. So how is your Korean?
Oh, terrible now. I'm such a disgrace.
I'm a disgrace. I don't speak Armenian and I get shit for it on the regular.
I definitely still pretend I'm Chinese at Korean restaurants. It's like that bad. They'll look at me and they're like, Chinese? And I'm like, oh yeah, we're gonna go that way, because I have an American accent.
Yes,
according to, and then when I, you know, when I was growing up, all the Americans around me were like, you have like a weird Asian accent, because it wasn't like fully Asian, it was just like
right.
terrible, because I don't
when you speak Korean, you have a mishmash accent that nobody can discover what the hell you're trying to.
When I speak English, that's where the problem is. When I speak Korean, everyone in Korea is like, you're American.
Okay.
And then because they know I'm Korean, unless they think I'm Chinese. But right. when I was younger, it was harder to tell. I had a bowl cut. So it was like really a dead giveaway. I was very Korean. And they would just like purposely like not even pretend to listen to me. Because they're like, you're so American, even though it's not like, you know, I've heard in like, if you go to France,
yeah.
and you pretend, you try to speak their language, they'll work with you.
Right.
In
but
Korea,
maybe
not
if
same.
You're not French.
That's true.
If they thought you were French and with just a shitty American accent, they'd be like, no.
Yeah, it gets very judgmental.
It's weird how judgmental everybody is. You're like, Didn't anybody in your generation want to immigrate? Because
guess
what happened? My parents immigrated, and we've melted. And yeah,
and that's kind of like what happened with me. It felt like, so that's why my parents would send me over there, because they wanted me to learn Korean and like learn my roots. And so like K-pop was a way for me to do that. And then now when I stopped being able to go to Korea, I basically lost all my Korean because I didn't use it. And then also like when I was a kid, I would get made fun of. And then another reason, like my English probably wasn't the greatest, because I was listening to so much K-pop at the time,
right?
And there was English in the K-pop,
mm-hmm.
but I think the English is better now when they put it into songs, but like back then it was not
accurate.
Correct,
yeah,
at all. Like there was this one song, I'm not a rapper by any means, but like and they would have people from America, like there was this not rule of thumb, but like a kind of like a thing saying or whatever, where like if you couldn't make it in music in the US, which a lot of Asians couldn't, it was
right.
you know, even well, now we're having a hard time.
Right?
Yeah. So it's like worse in the 90s.
I think there's some doors that are cracked open
exactly.
now. And that's about it.
And like imagine like, you know, 20 years ago, like impossible. So a lot of those artists went over to Korea,
mm-hmm.
and like they still, I don't know if they just did not have any control, but there was like some lyrics, I'm like, you know, that's bad, but you still like this one.
Wait, English is your first language,
yeah.
but you let them mess with it.
Exactly.
Who,
I'm like,
who are some of the people? Who are the people
so,
who sing?
And then almost in every single group.
Okay.
In the early generation, there was one American.
Okay.
Or like American citizen. And that's kind of a big deal, because in Korea, you as a man, you have to serve. There's mandatory military service.
Ah.
And so if you're going over there and you're like, basically your career is there, you're making all of this money from, you know, that country.
Mm-hmm.
There comes a point where you're going to have to make a decision. So they come over there starting off as like American citizens. And then I think they either give up their American citizenship or do the dual citizenship thing where
right.
then they have to serve the
right.
military time.
And so that happened recurringly?
Oh, yeah. There was actually one artist. So he's the only person in history to, like, from last I checked, that actually got banned from Korea.
South Korea.
He's not allowed in South Korea.
Okay.
So what happened
was... And this
was,
is a young man.
This, well, now...
At the time.
At the time, he was a young man.
From?
Angeles.
From here?
Yeah.
Okay, from California.
Either
okay.
New York or LA.
Okay.
So he was basically the Korean usher. His name is Yoo Sung Jun.
Okay.
And so in Korean, the last name goes first.
Okay.
So... when I say, so Yoo is his last name. Sung-jun, I think his American name is Steve.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Right. He's done having that, that fight. Fair enough.
And so he blew up. Like, he was a solo artist. At the time, there was more groups. So it was okay. Like, you know, like boy bands were a thing. So there was a people, record labels were making groups. So like for him to come out, it was a huge deal because he was like the Usher, basically.
Right, right. He and this dance. Is in the early 90s.
Early 90s. Okay. Maybe mid, actually. Mid to late 95, 96-ish.
Okay.
So he came out and he just like... Everyone fell in love with him. Dancing, good looking, like
right, right.
Everything.
Triple
like I'm
threat.
Yeah, and I'm very gay now, but like as a kid
Now.
But as a kid, I didn't know about the gay thing. It wasn't right. an option. I mean, I definitely, like, looking back on who I had crush, I'm like, that's yeah. definitely a crush. I'm like, oh, like, I can see. But men were actually a little more effeminate. Like, especially in Asian culture, men are a little more effeminate.
You know, it's very funny that you would say that because I did this tour, one of those armed forces tours, uh-huh. and I was in Djibouti, Africa.
Okay.
And our liaison was a Filipino guy, and he was fey. Like he was literally, he felt like he was from another world. He was beautiful.
Oh yeah.
Right. And he was wearing like a pink pant and a blue, like a sky blue oh, polo. Yeah. And he was the father of six and it, very straight, enormously straight, but so beautifully like self-aware of like, no, I would like to be pretty yeah. and I need to fuck my wife right now.
Yeah.
And, it's awesome. It's, but so I have seen that in, yeah. in some, in Asian cultures. Not as much in America, but no. in
it's the hypermasculinity in America is that's a whole other thing.
That's our thing.
Yeah.
Congratulations, gentlemen. I'm sorry you were raised in it because get yourself a sky blue Izod because it's
so
nice.
Pretty. It works with a lot of skin tones.
anyway, so the people you had crushes on.
Yeah. So, I mean, and he was one of them. Like I took a drawing class. I do like, I did like a whole portrait of him. It was, yeah. it was a thing. But so like he was the biggest heartthrob at the time.
Right.
So it came time for his military service. So when it was getting closer, he kept saying in his press releases, he was like, I'm going to join. I'm going to fight for my country. I'll serve my country or whatever. Right.
Right. So he's 14. Is he like 14?
Oh no, I'm sure
happens?
He was in his 20s. Cause I think from the 20s to like 30, somewhere in between there, you have to do your military service.
Okay. So, but what kind of music is it?
Pop. It's like pop and hip hop. So K-pop is like yeah. basically a mix of everything that just is popular. It's popular. Like if you right. listen to K-pop, it's probably going to be very popular because it mixes with a
so
lot of different
things. So it could be ballads,
things.
It could be dance, it could be yeah, rap, it can be...
It's everything. And right. there's multiple genres in like one song. Like it's okay. just it's a mix and it's because they take influences from other people. So K-pop became music... South Korea found a way to make music like a commodity, like okay. something to sell. And so that's like what happened. Like Yoo Seung-jun was going to China. Like they started branching out to other Asian countries. And like, I think they tried to bring him over to the States. But what ended up happening is like right before he was supposed to sign up, he went to America and was like, I'm going to have my American citizenship. And was like,
deuces. I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he like basically tried to come back and was like, sorry, like years yeah. late, like it was definitely too late. And then the government, like basically he like tried to fly back and the government was like, nah. And then he turned into one of the most disliked or hated people. He went from like Usher to like
right.
a pariah because like that's such a big, there's still like a lot of morality tied with entertainment and mm-hmm. like all of that because the government is very
oh
you
the
know,
government yeah the government wants you to be a role model and
exactly
all these things
like and- Korean culture is definitely different than American culture and just like how things are and so like you can see that in the music and in the songs like now with K-pop now so that's why I'm stuck in this time period
okay
because like I feel like there's more to it. Like it represents more of the culture and like what it's like to be Korean. And like, even though it's poppy or whatever it is, yeah. like there's still more substance to it versus now K-pop, you see like BTS or like whoever, and it's just pretty.
Okay.
And like Koreans were very, I don't know if we still are, but we were number one in for plastic surgery.
Ah, okay.
So we're very like superficial.
So there's been some huge rush on plastic surgery.
It's a very big deal. Like to like look a certain way. Like almost every single Korean celebrity has had plastic surgery.
And so back in the 90s, they did not.
They did.
Oh, they also
they all look the same. This is terrible to say. They all pretty much look the same.
Right. But that's a plastic surgery thing.
Exactly.
Because plastic surgery does make... Have you ever heard Dana Gould's joke about plastic surgery?
No.
It's essentially, he said, you know, the purpose of plastic surgery is to make you look younger and prettier or better looking. And he said, and if it ever worked on anyone ever, I would recommend it. And, and I was like, noted. Anyway, but... So everyone's been doing it since plastics in Korea because of the racism against Asian people. Because there's always been that thing about the whole eye thing.
That's what the surgery is the most popular. It's actually a 30-minute procedure.
That's in and
how
out.
That's
outpatient.
How quick they got it down. I actually had I didn't have that eye surgery.
Right, right.
I had a different one. And I want to clarify because mine was for like actual
for medical reasons.
I had too much fat in my eyelids and I really couldn't see as much.
You know, I think Amy Anderson had that same one and it was also for medical reasons. And she's like, it wasn't to make my weird round. I'm not trying to be round eyed. Get off of me.
It's a legit thing. But then it's also because like I think Korean, like when they try to make K-pop like more like global,
right,
they want, you know, that standard look of beauty. So skin whitening is a big deal. Like I'm dark for right. my people.
Oh.
And this, I'm like paler now, but I used to play a lot of golf. And so that's when I was really dark. And like,
you could have got dorked out about golf.
I got it, but you already had someone do it.
No, I did.
And it was great. It was a great episode. Yeah, it was a great episode. And so like the culture in K-pop in the 90s, like mid-ish 90s, that's like when it just completely changed. It was first introduced, like music in Korea used to be folk music.
Okay.
Until like early 90s. And then there was this.
Until early 90s, yeah. They were still just playing some version of guitar, acoustic guitar business.
Yes, with like the traditional
plink.
Yeah.
Plink plink. I've been there.
Yeah. And that was it. And it was
very beautiful and it's very soothing and I've gotten many a massage to it.
There you go. Yeah. And yeah. It's and it was very like it has to be a certain moral thing. It's very like pro Korea or just very like love ballads. It is very specific on what you can sing.
Even in K-pop in the 90s.
Then it changed with K-pop. And then
okay.
There's this first group called Seotaeji Idol, which is like now people know as a Seotaeji and Boys. It's just the translation.
Okay.
And he basically brought K-pop / hip-hop over
to Korea.
And it was not well received. So he performed on a TV show and the judges like gave really low ratings, basically like, I don't know what you're doing. Because he was dancing and like all of
he
this.
He was dancing and singing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the traditional folk music at all.
Exactly.
And he wasn't just doing karaoke.
Yeah. And then wearing the baggy clothes, that was a big no-no. Like,
no?
Yeah.
Are you supposed to wear tight clothes?
Are you supposed to wear like tighter
clothes? That fit?
Clothes that fit. Yeah, because around that time, like breakdancing started being a thing.
Yeah.
You know, so like Koreans, the younger generation is a very repressed, there's a very like repressed culture. So a lot of the early, like 90s K-pop is from the earlier groups it sounds very teenage angsty when they get to their second album. So a lot of it is like, you know, like, I know, I'm sure other artists do this too, but like with Lady Gaga and Eminem, like Eminem, for example, one song has to be for radio. It doesn't sound anything like it, but that's what the record label
right,
wants.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lady Gaga, same way. You can see the progression of her. Like what you can see is like, oh, you actually want to do this. You're not what your first album is.
Oh, I see.
And there's like a lot of like that happened with K-pop artists. Like H.O.T. was, so it was Seotaeji, Idol, and then they saw the success with Seotaeji and Boys. And so this record label, SM Town,
okay.
Or this guy who started SM Town, which is like, I think BTS is part of SM Town. I'm not sure, but basically, they turned into three main labels in Korea. It was JYP, YG, and YG is more the hip hop.
Right.
And then JYP is kind of a mix. And then SM Town is like pure pop-ish.
Just sing along.
Yeah. And yeah. So like H.O.T. was like really happy and poppy. Then you get to their second album and it was like, you know, we are the future. Like, this is like, we're the young generation.
Oh, the rebellious.
Yeah, it's very teenage angsty. And these are people in their 20s. Like,
right. But I mean, the thing is, so, I mean, that's the amazing thing about it. I think a lot of, is you get to see people kind of grow up.
Yeah.
You know, and they're recording it.
That's the it was really cool. And that's what like I love about that time period is because you can you see the changes, but also like they're still true to like the culture and like what society is. Like it's almost like a time capsule with some of those songs because like even Sotoji and Boys, like they'll do songs that were like against you know, like they actually got one of their songs like completely banned.
Was censored.
Censored because it was like basically trying to be like, you know, it sounded anti-government.
Okay.
And then there was a rumor that started that their one of their songs or yeah, one of their songs, if you played it backwards, had satanic messaging.
Sure.
Which didn't have any proof, but it was enough because it's, you know, Korea is a very like moral high culture, enough to be like, you can't listen to them. And
right.
then it they went on break and then so they came back and then by the time they came back they were doing like a lot of like rock punk thing.
Okay.
Like I just remember seeing him perform and he like had red orange dread. It was weird. Like
yeah.
a lot of weird yeah. genre things, but that's because the culture it's like a lot of kids like if you like even for me, like I didn't get to experience a lot as a kid. So when I got to college, I went wild. Like
yeah.
I was like parties, drinking, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
it kind of felt like that. Cause like in Korea too, like the kids, it's very strict. And also there's a test. Korea has one of the highest suicide rates.
Wow.
And that's because there's a big test at the end when you graduate.
Sort of high school-ish?
High school. At the end, there's a test that basically determines what college you can get into.
Right.
So it's like the SAT on crack.
Yeah.
Like it means so much because it tests you from basically when you're a kid, like kindergarten, first grade, all the way up.
Wow.
Everything.
And it's one test?
And it's one test.
It's one fucking test to yeah. see what you've learned in the last 11 years?
My cousin, he was studying so much, and this is common, he was studying so much and eating only ramen because that's what he can, like the fastest thing he can eat.
Yeah.
He started going blind. Because of all the sodium from the ramen.
Oh, Jesus.
And like people, like the stress of it, like it, there's like, if you're late to the test, you can have a police escort. Like the whole country revolves.
Down.
Yeah. Revolves around this test.
And it happens what, like every June or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever
I think
date.
It's once a year and it's like 20% retake it. Cause it's almost shameful to retake it.
Oh.
So people like a lot of kids commit suicide. And so like, there's a lot.
What the fuck?
It's a lot
that
of pressure.
That can't be good.
It's yeah, it's not.
That sounds bad.
But we're great at math. And
oh, Jesus Christ.
Right. And so
the pressure alone will make you just go, I guess I'm going to be good at everything right now.
Yeah. And it's a lot. And that's why you feel like a lot of the music is like you can feel the teenage angst part of like where like, you know, screw the adults. Like there is a lot of like, you know, why like fuck the adults basically.
Right, right. And well, there ought to be. I mean, cause the thing is if you like, think about it, why do you listen to music when you're a kid? You
yeah.
listen to check out, you listen
exactly.
to like, is there anybody who thinks the same way I do? Is there anybody who has my back on this? And you're mm-hmm. like, oh, Metallica does in my case. Oh, Harry Chapin does. Anyway. So,
yeah.
But, yeah. So it's like that. So what are the songs that you'll listen to on replay now?
Oh.
Are they second album-y or are they first album-y?
They're like a mix of like first and second, sometimes third album. I'm
okay.
really into that.
You'll
because
follow.
It really depends, like, because I was going to Korea during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I'm in Korea, I'm like immersed in it. And then when I was younger, I was able to, like when the internet came out, I was on the forums all day reading fan fiction. And
oh,
like
right, right.
I taught myself Photoshop so I could, you can make these banners.
Yeah.
And like,
what?
They're called what? Banners.
Okay.
And you're just like collages of your favorite pop artists.
Okay.
And then like, or idols, they call them idols, but like you just make me, and it's just and you can put a cheesy quote and then
okay.
it's just like, this is who I want
to hang out with.
Yeah. And like so you just make, and like people were making them, and it was just like a whole thing,
right?
It was
a
now,
thousand photoshopped images of your favorite pop singers.
It basically
and
was.
Lines going, isn't he cute? Or whatever.
Yeah. And then yeah. there's like trans, I learned about transparency, all that. And it's just like just weird broken English stuff that, you know, about love. but like, so it depends on my mood, really. Like
right.
I love things that make me sad.
Okay.
I'm really, and I think that's part of my culture, just as Koreans. Like it's a a good K-pop music video is when you cry. If you're not crying, I don't know what you're doing. You're either soulless or that's their fault for not making you cry.
Okay, the singer is crying?
No, when you watch the video.
Okay. Oh, that's very, very popular. There's romance novels. There's ones that make you cry. I was buying one at a Target.
Wait, like the sexy romance novels?
Yeah.
That make you cry?
Yeah. They're just, it's a good crying jag. Anyway, because there's...
That's a lot of feelings, like horny and crying.
I don't know if you understand what's happening in a romance novel, but there's often misunderstandings. And you know what? That's sad. I don't know what the plot of a K-pop music video is. What makes you cry? And what are you sobbing about?
Oh, okay. So I'll tell you this one, and then I'll tell you about songs. So like, if I'm like trying to like, I want to feel. So like a lot of the songs that are
oh my god, the entire generation going, I don't have any feelings, I just need to cut myself, which is super real. And I apologize. There we go, keep going.
So I was gonna make a terrible joke. Okay, never mind.
I just did. So
so like, for example, like one of the songs that I listen to is called 여자니까, and that's because, and it's a translation is because I'm a girl.
Okay.
It's by this band called or group called KISS, and it's an all-female group, and like the music video is basically like these two people fall in love. One's a photographer.
Okay.
And then it's like cute, romantic, happy, and then like something happens, and then what happened was, like, he was taking pictures and he needed to, like, get more film. And she's like, I got you, boo. And then she goes downstairs and, like, she's reaching for the film but knocks over, like, something, the chemicals.
Oh.
And it gets in her eye.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it gets better. And then, so, you know, she's rushed.
Move the microwave phone a little bit away before I lose my shit.
So she's rushed to the hospital.
Sure.
And then, you know, they're doing surgery and she's blind. And so, and the guy, he like rides motorcycles. And so the cut to him just like riding and just being so
furious.
Yeah. And just so dramatic. And then next thing you know, it cuts to her and she's just like walking around like fine, not blind.
Oh, weird.
And then she goes to the racetrack. And then there's a blind guy with his little dog. And then she sees him. And then she noticed that there's a picture of her next to him that he's just holding.
Uh-huh.
And so he gave up his eyes. I'm getting teary thinking about it. He gave up his eyes for her.
She had an eye transplant?
Yeah, from him. I don't know if that's medically possible, but it is.
Jesus Christ. I'm so sorry.
And this is not even the worst. Like, this is not. And then so I'll watch that music video every now and then to like remind me that I'm human. And then there's another one that I listen to on repeat.
Yes.
And then this is kind of an example of why I really appreciate K-pop music at this time, because like this song I think actually came out in the later 90s, but it's a glimpse into our culture and like who we are as people.
Yeah.
So there's a song called by this group G.O.D. For example, this is where the English does not make sense too. The group is called G.O.D. It's
like
an acronym.
God.
Like God. Like an it's an acronym for Groove Overdose.
All right.
Right.
That there's nothing wrong with that, though. When you think of a band, I could see a Groove Overdose band.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. I just thought that was weird. I remember being like a kid and being like, why? Like, because, you know.
How would you conjugate that? Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. It's a band. Yeah, but Groove Overdose is actually a pretty good name for a band.
Okay. Yeah. I'll give it back to them. I was judgy at first, but, you know, you bring up good points.
Here we are on the Dork Force Safe Space. Name your band whatever you need to name it. Go.
And then, so they have this song called Two Mother. And then it's that's the English translation of it, but it's very Tupac. Are you familiar with Tupac, the rapper?
I understand he's not dead, but he's dead. Anyway, yes.
But when he was alive officially, he had this song. He had this song called Dear Mama.
Okay.
And so it's very much like that. And so the song's about, and it tells a story about how like this kid grew up really, really poor, and it was just him and his mom. Mm-hmm. And one day he was just like, I'm sick of eating like the same stuff. I want something different. And then so his mom like took their savings and took her son out to this place to eat jajangmyeon, which is like a dish. It's a noodle covered in black bean sauce, which people actually eat during Valentine's Day because it's black, so it matches the color of your heart.
Aww.
We're very, you know,
so
dramatic people.
We could talk later about Korean food, which I love.
Oh yes.
Anyway, go.
So So she like took him out to this with her savings, right? Because they're very poor. Mm-hmm. And then he even like asked her, and he was like, "Why aren't you eating?" And she was like, "Oh, I don't even like it." But in reality, it's because she couldn't afford both. Right. She could only afford that one. And then they opened up this store, and then she was very hardworking. And then it was just basically like he's like singing to her, saying mm-hmm. like, "You know, I love you." Like. Think like you gave up so much working for me. And then like in the video it shows the store, everything's happy, and then she falls, and then turns out she dies. And so that song ends with like, "I hope you can rest now," but like it really shows like the sacrifices that like parents
do for
it's
children.
A familial thing. Yeah. And like where children are, it's a different level of gratitude or mm-hmm. like gratefulness, because like our parents, like my parents came over here and like, you know, they worked their ass off for me to have everything. We just started having a relationship. I'm 31. We didn't have one to begin with.
Oh, okay.
Like at all.
Okay.
But I had this respect for them because I know how hard they were working. Like sure. They worked 24/7. Like I never saw them. I raised myself. That's why I was like, only knew how to make ramen. I was a fat kid because all I ate was ramen.
Right.
So it really shows like, you know, what the culture is like.
Yeah.
You know, and then also another song that I like by G.O.D. is this song called Gil, which is Road.
Okay.
And the song is basically, the music video is not as good, but the song, the song is basically, am I picking the right path?
Okay.
How do I know I'm picking the right path?
Okay.
And like, you know, being in stand-up comedy, and I came from golf too, and I was definitely listening to this a lot when I was playing golf, because I was like, am I doing the right thing? I kind of don't like this. Mm-hmm, but it's the only thing I know. And with stand-up, you know, like, this is a hard path to go.
Sure.
So like there's a lot of rejection. So sometimes they're like, I've been listening to that song a lot to be like, you know, kind of reassuring me that like I just gotta trust what I'm doing. So
right.
like I'll listen to these songs because like it either resonates with a feeling that I have, or like it's super sad and I just need a good cry.
Right. Or it reminds you of something. You know, sometimes it's super nostalgic and
exactly.
you're like, this is so, I remember, like there's a couple of songs. Everyone your age and a little bit older right now, maybe even a little bit, everybody's fucking listening to what they're calling yacht rock.
What's that?
Yacht rock.
Like a boat yacht?
Yeah, the boat yacht. A yacht as a ship that is privately owned by someone fancy. Now, but they're all these songs. Essentially, they're the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, right? So it's like all these sort of, and all they do is remind me that I was never able to roller skate backwards.
Oh my God.
Because I was there for these fucking songs. On and on, you keep on trying. Da da da. Anyway, it's like that shit, and it's one, that's a one hit wonder that I happen to have memorized in my brain box. And then all of a sudden you're like, I know Kenny, who is this Steely Dan? What are you doing? And I don't mind those songs, but I don't know anything about that music any more than I know anything about anybody else's music.
Yeah.
But sometimes they do make me kind of, there was a song that I remember hearing, and this is just a weird, you know, addendum, but in 1970 or 72, there was, my life was, it was a mess, right? Because mm-hmm. My parents were separated, and my mother was drunk all the time, and then she died. But during like 70, 72, when I was like 5 or 6 years old, I raised myself. I was alone most of the time. I have 5 older siblings, but they were busy raising themselves, and they would check in with me. They were not monsters. Everyone mostly checked in with me. But when I was, you know, 4 to like 6, the songs came out, and one of them was Candyman. Sammy Davis Jr. sang a song called Candyman, and then Rhinestone Cowboy. And I love those songs so much. And so I used to, when I was like in my teens and my mother had passed away and my father had remarried and my stepmother. And so it's the late 70s and I'm supposed to be caring about Andy Gibb, or it's the middle 80s and I'm supposed to be caring about ecstasy and, you know, and all this other stuff. And I don't. But I would hear like one of those songs and I would literally just sit there and happily cry.
Yeah.
And just nostalgically cry.
That's
what kind of it is, right?
Yeah, for sure. Because it does take me back to that time where things made a little more sense. I mean, I think that's always like the thing about nostalgia is just like, you know, it's nice to think, like, in at the time, I'm sure I was, like, completely lost, no idea what I'm doing. But, like, looking back, I'm like, life was simpler. It probably wasn't. But, you know, no, you remember
I
the good things.
I do a joke about how everyone says it was every generation has a simpler time, jackass. It was a simpler time. When I was a kid, things were easier. It was a simpler time. And the reason is, of course, is because we were children.
That's true.
It should have been a simpler time.
Exactly.
If it was not a simpler time, it means you were working in a sock factory in Hong Kong and you were 11. And that was sad. So please, I pray for the simpler time. Anyway,
I want to show you about my fan. So I actually went to my parents' house and I found these, like, these are called diaries and they're actually planners.
Okay.
But this is from 98, but this is what I mean. So this is HOT.
Okay.
And, like, you see how they're
are
little
they hot?
Fun. It stands for High Five of Teenagers.
High Five of Teenagers.
Yeah.
See, I don't understand. The God one is fine. High Five of Teenagers is a mess.
But this was the group.
Okay.
This is actually, I think, from their second album. But that was the group after.
There's
so
five
touchy.
Of them.
Right? And
are they teenagers?
Like I honestly don't remember. I don't think they were. Probably,
they look very young.
I mean, but we all do.
Right.
It's kind of like built in. But, like, so each group, everyone has a role. So, like,
okay,
this one is Tony. He's from America. I think he was, like, singer, like, rapper. I think that's Uyok, and he's the dancer. Jaewon is the youngest one, which is a role for some weird reason.
Okay.
Hyejun is the leader. Typically, that's the older one.
Yeah.
They also have to sing very well. And then, but the other, so there's the singer who has to sing well. The leader typically sings well. The younger one and the one that might be a dancer just really has to be pretty.
Okay.
There's some people, like, you'll see the groups, and some of them, they have no talent besides just being pretty.
Okay.
Which is perfectly fine.
That is fine.
To
as long as
own.
Someone
exactly.
As long as someone can sing.
And that happens. And then Kangta, he was, like, basically the Justin Timberlake of the group.
Oh, and he wrote all the songs?
I don't think any of them, actually. He was, like, the singer, the talented ones. And he went solo. And, like, he was the big one that, like,
oh, he almost, was the breakout star.
Yeah. Like, everyone, like, had the biggest crush on him.
So he's the American.
He was the American.
One guy's the American. One guy's the youngest.
Yes.
One guy's the dancer.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's the leader who's also a singer. And then this guy's the fancy singer. This guy's the lead singer.
The lead singer. And then the leader usually, he wrote, so actually, which was really cool, he actually wrote, when he started being able to do more of his own thing, you can see a lot of his stuff is a little more darker, a little more ballad-y. I think third or fourth album they came out with, one of the title tracks was, the lead singles was Outside Castle. And it was basically about how society treats disabled people.
Oh, interesting.
And, like, how we should treat them better and not treat them as, like, less than people just because they're disabled
or
whatever.
And that's the lead singer guy?
No, that's him that wrote the song.
The leader guy.
Yeah, and then they actually, so in Korea, there was two or three main TV shows. There was Music Bank, SBS Inkigayo, which is, like, popular music. That's the translation for that. And I can't remember the third one. It wasn't that good.
And are they contests or are they just performance?
So this is different. Musically, this is different than what is provided in America. They're performances where people can go vote. So they're, like, I think it was weekly or a couple nights a week where, like, these singers, like, popular singers were just, like, performing their singles, and this is how they promote.
Okay.
So they don't actually, like, they'll do their own, like, concert, but this is, like, a performance how everyone, like, sees them and,
right,
like,
and
sees
now
the
you're
dances.
Like, go buy this single.
Yeah, and then choreographed dancers are big in Korea.
Yeah.
Like, people love that. They'll memorize a dance, the song, whatever. And so when they came out and released that Outside Castle single, they actually put sign language in the performance, in the choreography.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was like, it's like that stuff. Like, that's the type of stuff that, like, old K-pop has versus, like, now is just, I don't, after, like, what people see with Gangnam Style when that came out and basically put K-pop on the map. And it wasn't, like, Korea's first attempt of bringing artists over.
Right.
But it's the one that blew up because the music video was just so ridiculous.
What was it called?
Gangnam Style, the one with Psy.
Nah, I got nothing.
You don't remember? It was the YouTube video, like, got like a billion hits.
A billion?
A billion. It's at like 3.4 or 5 billion right now.
Gundam?
Gangnam Style.
Oh, okay.
Most people pronounce it Gangnam Style.
Okay.
That's the American way of saying it.
Sure,
but
is it just dance mostly? Like, what's...
I honestly can't... It's an event you need to see. It's hard to describe because there's just so much happening, but the dance became popular. It was like this, like, riding the pony thing.
Oh, wait a minute. I was at a wedding where people did it.
Yeah.
Did the dance. How about that?
So our people are so proud.
Exactly.
We do so much.
Apparently you perfected so little, yeah. So much.
So that's kind of like what, and that song itself is actually a social critique on like the city of Gangnam, which is kind of like just overpriced, like super bougie. And it's a critique on that. But no one knows or no one cares. And now you see BTS, which is just like pretty. It's just so many things. And I
so
honestly,
it even went like further, like more shallow, slightly more shallow.
Yeah. And that's because
it, even that Gundam thing was had some social commentary.
Yeah. And but no one in America cares about that.
Right.
But that's where the money is. And
right.
So like it definitely has changed. But then, you know, like back, like talking about like Outside Castle or like songs where like with Road or like Two Mother, like all those things, like that's where my heart is. Like
right,
where
right.
I just like I feel the meaning, even though I don't understand it anymore. And like my Korean is terrible.
Right. But if you were back and if you went to Korea, you would get immersed and it would be
oh,
fine.
Yeah.
It would take a second.
I would like to think so. I'd like to have faith.
When
in
was the
me,
last
but...
time you were I would like to have faith in me. You should totally have faith in you.
Thank you. I'll try to work on that.
Oh my god. Yeah, I would love to care if I was still trying. Yes. Anyway, so when was the last time you were in Korea?
I want to say like 2008 or 2009.
Okay.
And then that's when I had which surgery did I have? Oh, I think I had like part like there was like some like something with my neck, and so they like had to take some of that out, but it was over the winter. And then that I got a little bit back into K-pop.
You went to South Korea for surgery?
My family over there, they're all doctors.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
So they're like, so they see you and they're like, I wonder what we
pretty much because yeah, oh gosh,
they're it's like, oh, we should probably fix this
everything
up.
Everything needs to be fixed.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Yeah, because that's what, yeah, Korea is very like, you know, it's very superficial. Like I don't think like maybe now I could fit into some clothes. Because,
I flew
like,
Korean Air, and the stewardesses, the flight attendants, were genuinely the best looking people I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean,
and
not to
by
make
the way,
assumptions, they probably had surgery.
Well, they all looked almost exactly the same, like body type wise.
Yeah, that's a,
it was like you're like, oh, I'm sorry, you all have to be 112 pounds, 120 pounds, or whatever it is, right? And they were super. They were nice. They were perfectly nice women, but I was like, because I do, I love, okay, wait, is there another one?
Oh, no, this one is like, it's just the same thing pretty much, but it's like this, someone told me it was a cartoon version of Kangta, but I wanted to show you like the English.
Yeah.
It says, live for yourself, it's wonderful what you can live in the, oh, that one's fine.
well, it's a little bit
I was
of a
looking,
mess, but,
yeah,
but it is a meme, so what are you going to, or it is
like,
a poster.
It's, and I'm like 10 years old, and it's just, I just want you to know that I will always love you. Like, these kind of things are just a little weird. Oh,
like
but,
little pep talks?
Just make someone happy, make just one someone happy.
Okay, I think
I don't
that's
know.
Lyrics. That's
no.
actually Beatles, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
It might be.
That makes more sense, because I'm like thinking like, why are they putting these weird ass things? Like, I'll try to find the other one that was super,
oh well,
yeah, once upon a time lived Cinderella in the town. What does that have to do with any of this?
It doesn't have anything
right? Like,
to
it
do.
Doesn't make
They're
sense,
like,
but.
We got to fill up another month.
There was, for example, like there was a song called Only One by this group called Shinhwa.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shinhwa, like the rapper, the American guy, this is where I'm like, I'm not a rapper at all, but it was like, you're the girl with the, I think it was like, you're the girl with the ice and the jewels and like, I see you over there popping pills. And then that was like the rap.
That was the whole thing?
Like with a couple other us in there, but like essentially that was
it. Doesn't rhyme.
It doesn't make sense. But like in the song, like two Koreans, it sounds good because it probably with the syllables and like the way. So it sounds good, but it's like, I'm 10 years old and you're rapping about a girl that you see popping pills, but then you're in love with her like...
Right, right.
What?
Is it, should I go get some pills?
It was a very, it was a very weird
Yeah, the message
feeling.
There is not a good message. I would like to tell the Rangers, please do not pop pills for any reason, unless they are prescribed.
Exactly.
And,
oh, but so like about the like superficial thing, there was actually, so there was a trend in like the early 2000s with some of the groups that started coming out. So there's one group called Brown Eyes that didn't release what they looked like for the first album, two albums maybe.
What?
Yeah, somehow, because so in Korea, if you're a K-pop idol, it's your life is over. Like, you have no social life.
Oh, right, because you can't go outside. It's they will just impossible. Mob you. Possible.
And then if you, like, if there's any hints you're dating anyone, even if it's, like, another famous celebrity,
yeah.
they're getting death threats. Like, it's that bad.
Oh, my God. You're and like you don't get to have a life.
No.
I get to only imagine as how great you are. It feels vaguely Hunger Games.
I
wonder if the woman who wrote the Hunger Games was into K-pop.
I feel like we deserve credit now.
Exactly.
But like my cousin used to live around the corner from SM Town, which is that big label. And you can just see writings on the wall, literally.
Oh, like graffiti.
Not technically graffiti, because I don't think it was legal, but it was just like writing notes to the singers and like...
Oh, and essentially it was allowed though, because you're just like, this is great advertising.
You can't do anything about it. I mean, right. I'm sure they don't want it there because the people, they're like, even during the day, like, because I went during my winter break and so I was just walking around, but like during school time, like people were like just standing outside waiting, hoping to catch a glimpse of people.
Okay.
Like people like camp out there just to like hope to see somebody.
Wow.
Like it's really
that's
bad.
Intense.
So I think that was also, and then they were trying to be like, oh, don't focus on what I look like focus on like the song. So they then it became a big deal because one of them actually was is an artist, and so he like did a sketch, and then they were like, this is us, and they didn't actually perform for like years later after that.
Okay.
And then there was this group called Big Mama. And then this music video is also very, very great. I think this music video is really great.
Awesome.
So what it's like set in like a nightclub. So their debut song was called Breakaway. And it was set in this like kind of nightclub, like jazzy type of vibe, right? Like people are smoking cigarettes, that type of thing.
Sure.
And then you see these like four like probably standard beautiful women. They're skinny. They have that face.
Right.
And they're singing. Okay. And then you just see the guys just like nodding like approvingly and like this is what we want. And then you see... And then, like, towards the end of the song, and then there's a random break dancer, of course, because you have to have dancing in K-pop music videos. If you don't, it's not a real video. Right. And then
we need to see some acrobatic dancing.
Exactly.
Please bring it.
And then, and this song's a ballad, too. So it was a very beautifully done. It was like just the break dancer with one spotlight and a black, and the rest of it was dark. It was beautiful. I will give them that. So the break dancer gets introduced, and then after that, it cuts to like behind the stage or like underneath or something, and it's these four women who look nothing like what's on stage. Like some of them are bigger, some of them are just like not as like
perfect looking.
Yeah. And so but their vocals, like you when you hear them, you're like, they obviously like deserve that record deal,
right?
You know. And then the video ends, and then they're standing outside like greeting people like thank you for coming, and no one is paying attention to them. Even the singer, like one of the singers, like came out and like cut through them and just like was like, whatever, like you're nothing. And then their whole thing, and they're called Big Mama, but their whole thing is that, like, you know, don't judge us for like we have the talent,
right?
So like that started becoming, and obviously I don't think on a big scale of things, I think they're still performing, but like I don't think
they
like won out
the industry.
They didn't change the industry. But it was nice to see the attempts there.
Yes. And that's the journey, right? Is that we have to remind everyone that women are people and people are people, and you know, whatever, you know, black people are people, Asians are people, and not just white men are people. It's a good, we should all remember. And I know it's a slow burn.
It really is. And it's slower in
other countries.
It really is. Like in Korea, they also like, they just had the biggest women's protest because there's like a thing where there's a lot of hidden cameras around. And there's like not laws to protect that. So
like in bathrooms. And
yeah.
Just gross.
And it's just really gross. And then there was another scandal with like K-pop, this K-pop group, or a couple of them, I think some band members, there's a group of guys, there was like a secret like group chat with them. And somehow that got released, but they were like openly admitting to like date raping people, and they were laughing about it.
Right.
It's a very patriarchal society, you know? So,
well, I remember I was in Australia in 2005, and there was one of the footy teams, one of the Australian rules football teams was accused of gang raping this woman. And they had just done it as a team.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, not cool.
As a team. Wow.
Well, a little team building exercise. We're going to hurt this woman.
Oh, my God.
All 11 of us.
How is that?
How is that okay? Yeah.
Especially, like, I mean, it's just kind of wild. That means there was, like, 11 guys that, like, got together and was, like, no one thought that was not a good idea.
Or no one had the guts to say, what a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I think I was in San Francisco at... It was at a noodle shop, and there was four, what clearly were like either mainland Chinese or Hong Kong guys, mm-hmm. right? Or just maybe Singapore. Yeah. I don't know, whatever. But they were Chinese businessmen.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand what they were saying, but I understood the roles of each of those four men, much like that picture of the band. There was the guy who was clearly the boss, because the other three would occasionally laugh at things that you could tell were not funny.
I'm so, so jealous you witnessed this.
Oh my God. The only reason I noticed it was because there was one guy who laughed uncomfortably at a couple of things the guy said, and one guy who refused to laugh, who just sort of smiled and was like, and shook his head. He was like, nope.
Oh,
he didn't have it in him to tell the guy that whatever he said wasn't funny, but he was like, fuck, what are you doing? You know, leave.
He must have been like at the same level.
Must have either been at the same level or like cool enough or literally gave zero fucks.
I was going
to
say.
One of those. Like, because it's very hard to stand up in that kind of situation.
Oh, yeah. And especially, like, in a culturally, too. Like, I don't see that really. Like, Americans are, like, you're rewarded for, like, standing up for yourself. Sometimes.
It's been a slow process here.
Yeah.
But compared to other countries, it feels like a rocket ship, right?
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, where... 150 years ago, women in America were like, we just want to wander around a little bit mm-hmm. by ourselves, just some part of our day to ourselves. And genuinely, 75% of the men were like, well, we don't want to have to watch you all the fucking time either. And try not to get killed. Do you want to meet later? Yes, we totally want to meet later. And so we had to figure out, just like men have had to do for 10,000 years, how not to be killed by bad men or bad, you know, but just by, because evil people kill people,
yeah,
including other men,
mm-hmm.
and other men get attacked all the time by bad men.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Right. So, but I mean, and so the, but it feels faster here. But like I was in, Andy and I went on this tour, 18 days. It was like 9 days in. It's probably 7 or 8. Whatever. It was like several a weekish in Vietnam, mm-hmm. a weekish in Cambodia, and then a couple of days in Thailand, and then we flew out of Bangkok. Mm-hmm. So, but the Vietnam guy, the tour guide from Vietnam, was hilariously smart and interesting, and he was like, this might be a little dark. Do you guys want to hear the three main reasons why women get kidnapped?
I feel like it's just Asian like culture. We're just naturally darker because to me that's hilarious.
It is. And the thing is most of the tour, because we were on like an old people tour, but it wasn't that old. It was some of the people in their 30s. But it was like, it was one of those tours where they brought you places because I don't speak Vietnamese.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm going on a tour.
Yeah.
I need someone to tell me where shit is. And I just need some coffee and possibly a banh mi. The guy made fun of us wanting banh mi. He was like, you want a 75-cent street sandwich? I've been
so
bringing
good.
You to people's homes. And we're like, we love the homes. The food is amazing. We also would like a 75-cent street sandwich. And because your people have brought street sandwiches and they've made them delicious.
And he's then like, also way overpriced, so we don't know the difference.
Right, we don't know the difference, even though they're $4 over at Lee's.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, they could be 75 cents.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it was interesting because... He knew that it was horrible,
yeah.
right? But he told it from this very interesting perspective. He is originally from outside of Hanoi. He's from North Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many women. It was mostly Australian and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and some British and then some American. And so, but he was saying, so there's a lot of women who are being kidnapped by the Chinese right now. Because they don't have enough women of a certain age. And he said, and this has been incredibly embarrassing to the men of Vietnam. It's been so painful for the men of Vietnam. The men of Vietnam are really devastated. And all of the women just started looking at each other. And my friend DJ, who was on this trip with us, she said, wasn't that great for the women of Vietnam either? I don't know if you understand who's the real victim here, but it's essentially women are being stolen from small towns in the night, like young women from these tiny villages. The other thing that's happening is women who go to college in Vietnam, their boyfriends will sell them after graduation.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And it was horrible. And then the other thing is older women are being like middle-aged, middle-aged being not super young, right? Like sort of not everyone above 22, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those people are being sold by their husbands. Because they want new wives or something.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. I can see that being a thing.
And so I don't know if you know this, but it's been real hard on the men of Vietnam to have to deal with this.
That's my favorite. And that just makes me, it's a hilarious, but it's also like,
it's so horrifying.
And then that's what I love about stand-up comics is usually like we can laugh about like it's terrible.
Right.
But like, yeah, that's hilarious. But then also like a lot of people, I'm sure like if you're not really like thinking in that mindset, you're just like, oh my God, like also like, why are they laughing? Like what is wrong with them?
Right. It's like, and you know that it's not funny, but you know also that you're like, well, we have to fucking fix it. And until then, if we don't laugh, we're going to murder everyone.
That's very true.
And so I want to know before we leave, because we are almost at an hour.
Oh no.
I know it. How crazy is that? Right? What is the black noodle thing called?
Oh, jajangmyeon.
How do you spell it?
Oh gosh. JJANGMYEUN.
Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
And it's just, what is it?
Is
it black mushrooms?
It's actually, I honestly don't know. I think it's a black bean sauce, but it's originally Chinese. So China and like Japan like took over Korea. Well, China early, and then Japan like
later.
So there wasn't
World War II.
Wasn't like too much, but the, like a lot of influence. Like Koreans in elementary school, like through schooling, they spend a good chunk learning Chinese.
Yeah.
So that's just like a curriculum. English and Chinese are just standard curriculum.
In it.
Yeah. Okay. And I think that's because of like them coming over. So a lot of the food, like
jajangmyeon is,
yeah, there's a lot of influence.
So you think it's a Chinese dish?
It's originally a Chinese dish, but it's popular in Korea.
And it's not a soup. It's a dry noodle.
It's a dry noodle.
It's a noodle and sauce.
Yeah, it's a noodle and sauce.
Okay, because my favorite thing is this spicy beef soup.
Which?
Jukaijang.
Oh, Jukaijang.
Okay.
Jukaijang.
And it's my favorite because it will cure anything. And even if you aren't sick, it will prevent you from being sick.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's the spices are, and Koreans, we're very proud because when SARS was a thing, I don't think no Koreans got it or very, very few Koreans got it.
Lucky Koreans. We didn't get the weird virus.
We're kind of like the best.
We're the best. We're immune to your weird virus.
And it's supposedly because like we eat kimchi is in our diet and that has a lot of garlic and a lot of things that is good for.
Does kimchi have garlic?
It should.
I freaking love kimchi.
Yeah, it should.
But I don't love
garlic
as much as my sister, who literally has been like, when are we going to Korea? And she turned me on to Korean food. Oh, and so, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, if you ever go to Korea, let me know. I'll have my cousins meet up with you. All my family's over
there. Maybe I can get some work done.
I got you, Jackie. But you're
like,
beautiful just the way you
are. What's with your neck? And I was like, well, if you could do something. But anyway, so I've thought about plastic surgery just because I don't want to do it the hard way. So, and the aging process feels inexorable. But I'm also don't want to appear vain, which is the vainest thing possible.
I was going to say.
You know who's that's hardest on? The men of Vietnam. That's how is it?
If you learned anything from today, anything from 90s to early 2000s K-pop, it's that really the men of Vietnam are the true victims.
of the women of Vietnam being stolen. WellHongD.com. In Santa Ana, if people are down there, peeps and treats. And it's at Wellhong, WellHongD, as in Diana, right?
Yes.
Diana Hong. Ladies and gentlemen, you have listened to The Dork Forest. Thank you so much for being on The Dork Forest.
Thank you for having me. It's so much fun.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?